Let's get theoretical.
Awesome hypothetical.
Epicness again from Stoddard Black All, StoddardBlackAll.com, also SoundCloud, Stoddard Black All, I believe. We have his links below in the description, as well as our links to the YouTube channel, which we've been hitting very hard lately. We'll periodically be doing stuff in between, some specials, when we can and we have time, because there's been a lot of stuff going on, and also we want to kind of do different things with the production, but this is a segment that we haven't, you know, we do every once in a while.
Yeah.
We used to do it regularly on the live show back when we were doing that. And now it's something that we do randomly based on sort of like a theme. And since we're in spooky times, Halloween-y times, we figured, well, let's talk about some
spooky stuff.
Basically spooky hypotheticals or creepy. Basically creepy, because like, we also don't want this to just be specific to Halloween, because if you're not listening to this during October, it's in a different time. It's irrelevant to you. Or unless it's the next year. Whatever. Point being, we're just it shouldn't just be about Halloween. We want it to just be regular, scary, creepy hypothetical questions.
Mm-hmm.
Regular, scary, creepy? Just your run-of-mill. Not Halloween themed. Not like, or is it?
Kind of.
Kind
not
of?
Really.
Ooh, I love a surprise. So V has compiled, because again, Halloween is her big thing.
Yes.
And not only Halloween, but spooky, scary stuff. And when it comes to that, I consider her the expert. Amongst other things, clearly, but like, you know, like money, numbers, letters, words, being a grown up in general.
Yay.
She's just way better at all of that. So she has the list compiled. How did you figure this list out before we get to it? What was your criteria for the list?
Well, honestly, I did not have a super strict criteria.
Fair enough.
Because it was harder to find spooky, scary hypothetical questions than you might think.
But
they were all pretty general.
Right.
So I ended up finding some that were, I found two lists that were technically specific to horror movies.
Oh, okay.
But picked the most general out of those lists.
Fair enough. So, because like, it's not just horror movies. It's like scenarios within a horror movie you may find yourself in life. So there's that aspect.
Not really that either.
Oh. Well,
you'll see.
Who knows, man? You don't know who's listening and who might need this one day.
Yes, but also, don't listen to him, because spooky stuff is acceptable year-round.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I'm like 6 months out of the year, like half the year, like the month before Halloween, and then all the way through, like, I'd say December to like January. At I think New Year's Eve is when I give up on. I'm like, okay, Halloween's over. It's New Year's Eve. And then we get into January, and then once February rolls around, I'm like, okay, when's Halloween happening again?
Yeah.
Because then Valentine's Day, and it's like, ugh, everyone, even if you're like in a relationship, people are like, Valentine's Day, ugh.
Mm.
Derailing. We'll start a pre-hypothetical question, not related to anything spooky or maybe scary. Who likes Valentine's Day for real? Like, who really likes it?
I mean, like people who have really good marriages. Valentine's Day. Don't get me wrong. I feel like you should spend every day cherishing the person you love, your significant other.
That's what I'm saying.
But like,
why not every day?
I don't know. I think it's nice that there is a special day. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't saying this like at the times I was single, but
right.
Now it's nice to have a special day to like.
Oh, it's like, oh, now I don't. Well, and also it's like, oh, good. I don't have to worry about that day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, good. Well, that day I've always been kind of bummed out, but this time I don't have to. It's like,
yeah.
But then it's weird because it's like, but then then you feel that pressure to do something.
Yeah, it's mixed feelings.
And you're
it
like, dude, like, I just want to just exist. So Valentine's Day, even if you're in a relationship, it still
mixed
sucks.
Feelings,
I think it
no matter what.
Yeah, like, I think it sucks. I mean, I'm like, God, there's so much pressure, and it's like,
I'm a hopeless romantic.
I can't take the pressure,
so I like
tweak.
It.
Sorry, what'd you say? I didn't mean to talk over you.
Oh, sorry. I'm a hopeless romantic, so I love it.
I mean, I guess I am. I guess so, to a degree. But yeah, so anyway, Valentine's Day, it's kind of bullshit. It's kind of bullshit, but if you happen to have something going during that time, it's not bad, I guess. All right.
Alrighty.
Anyway, mystery answered. You're welcome. Next.
So our first two questions are actually would you rathers.
Okay.
Would you rather meet Bruce Campbell or Bela Lugosi?
for those who are not in the know, and these are definitely horror movie specific ones, Bruce Campbell is Ash from Evil Dead franchise. Mm-hmm. Still is. I mean, not anymore. I guess they've canceled. It's yeah. They canceled it, but whatever. Like, they may do one movie before they stop. And then you've got Bela Lugosi, obviously, from the Dracula films. So, to me, it's like if I had to choose which one. Mm-hmm. Like, do I love more, or which one would you
rather meet?
Ooh, okay, because I'm thinking about a fight now, like the characters in a fight. But which actor would I rather meet? Well, I mean, if I could meet Bela Lugosi, and it's like 2018, and I could meet Bela Lugosi, I love Bruce Campbell, but Bela Lugosi, like how often, he's a legend. How often could you? I met a dead celebrity, like they were alive just for a brief moment, so I could meet them, and then they died again. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, Bella. But, you know, it'd be kind of gruesome and weird to be like, I met him and they're dead. No one will believe me. So it's like Bruce Campbell because he's still alive. And then I'm more relevant with him because I grew up watching his stuff. So I'd say Bela Lugosi would be the dream. But like the reality of speaking to a dead celebrity, that's kind of I'm more creeped out by that in reality than I am about Bruce Campbell in reality. Yeah. As creepy as Bruce Campbell is, again, like, think about the circumstances in which that would have to occur. He'd either be a zombie, a ghost, I'd be in a time travel situation.
Or, he's Dracula, or he's not really dead.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, or he's not really dead. Well, then what is he, a brain in a jar with, like, some batteries sticking out? Like, how does he still function?
Whatever.
See, I don't think you thought this one through.
My answer... I mean, I have Bela Lugosi's face tattooed on my body, so
yeah.
Bela Lugosi. That's the easy answer for me.
Fair enough.
Okay, the next one. Would you rather have dinner with Stephen King or Wes Craven?
Oh, man. Well, what about you? What about you said Bela Lugosi before. Yeah. But okay, so this one, well, you first on this one, because I went first last time.
Vampires, Wes Craven.
Wes Craven. That's Wes Craven. Fair. Like, yeah, go for it. Why Wes Craven?
Because Wes Craven did Underworld, right?
I don't know.
I think.
Maybe. We could look it up, but we don't have any time. We have to get through these questions. So, yeah. So I guess
for me,
Craven.
It's Wes Craven. Yeah.
Why, no, but why Wes Craven, though? I mean, like, Underworld, like just the stories he would have to tell at dinner, or like what? Because like for me, it would be Stephen King because he's an author. He's written like, you know, he's got to be like outside of an interview on a TV show. I bet if you talk to this person in real life without any of the pomp and circumstance, like he's probably the most super fascinating human being. And as much as I love Wes Craven, he's more of a visual person. And yeah, I'm sure he's very deep philosophically minded, but he might not have the same way of communicating that Stephen King does. And I think that it would probably be a much more, like, both would be, are you kidding? Like, Wes Craven could be like, oh, when I was working on, was it The Thing? I think he did, right? The Thing? Oh, God. Or is that John Carpenter?
That's John Carpenter.
Okay, God. See, but both are legends in their own right. Nightmare on Elm Street? Wes Craven?
Yes.
Ah, Freddy. The first Freddy makeup. And subsequent Freddy's after. And New Nightmare as well.
Yep.
Yeah, Wes Craven is tremendous. I mean, but for me personally, I'd be like, well, Steve... but then you got the who would I be more uncomfortable around for an entire dinner?
Stephen King.
As much as interesting as it would be to pick his brain, I feel like he would start to get dark with me, especially when there was no pomp and circumstance. I wonder what kind of weird shit he would talk about. It's like, he's like, you know, I built my home on top of an old cemetery. It's like, what? What do you mean? He's like, I'm just kidding.
Some
what
weird
the fuck, dude?
Stuff.
What's wrong with you, Stephen King? It's like, well, that's why you like the books. I'm like, oh. So I guess that's a good point. I'll say, it's hard because at first I'm like, Stephen King would be pretty great, but those stories and him just sort of going down that dark path, but he would still be, I'm sure he's a brilliant, it would probably be like talking to a professor.
Probably.
Like with Stephen King. It'd be like talking to elder statesman type, and with Wes Craven, I feel like, but both are like old hippies anyway. So it'd be like just talking to old hippies either way about like the biz. Man, that's a tough one. That's a really good one. Wes Craven or Stephen King. I'd have to say, for the Hollywood stories and the shit talk, because I both could talk shit about film.
Yeah.
But I feel like King would be a little bit more cerebral, but I don't like. That's tough. That's a really good one. I can't decide.
See,
before I thought it was like Stephen King, but I'm like, no, I might get creeped out by him.
My
seriously,
the second part of my answer is gonna sound super, super pretentious.
Okay.
But I feel like with my love of vampires and that lore and that world and stuff like that, creature features, that if I had dinner with Wes Craven and spent enough time like shooting the shit and throwing ideas back and forth, that I could probably leave the dinner with a movie deal.
With Stephen King?
No, with Wes Craven.
Oh, well, that's you being a big nerd, being like, oh, I could clearly talk Wes Craven into a project and produce my dumb idea. Like, yeah, of course. I mean, that's what I would think. That's why, oh, if I'm Stephen King, he's going to think I'm so brilliant. It's like, no way. Like, they get that all the time from people who are just, like, Ubering them around. Imagine you're Stephen King or Wes Craven, and you order Grubhub, and someone comes to your place, and you pick up the food, but there's, like, a transcript on top.
Yep.
And you're like, what? And you read it, and you find out that the guy works for Grubhub, and that he sent it with... It's like, oh, man, really? It's like, they're desperate. People are I'm just trying to get your attention. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I could see that being... But then again, if it's a really good script, and it's worth fighting for, it's hard to debate. I would just feel like, I just want food. I don't want to fuck with this right now. Maybe I'll get to it, but I just toss it aside myself. I would love to think that those guys would be like, yeah, you're so fascinating and creative. We would love to give you projects and money and a career and everything. But it's like, no, they wouldn't. They would most likely just have the dinner, feel like it was a charity event, and then fuck off.
No.
And then fuck off. Be like, there, I did my make-a-wish. Suck a dick. It's like, oh, come on, guys. We're fans.
Okay.
I'm sure they're not that evil, but I still haven't picked. I mean, for Wes Craven, I feel like I'd get a lot of, like, insider info on Hollywood shit. But with Wes Craven, with Stephen King, I feel like it would be... I feel like I'd get more out of the conversation with Stephen King. Even though I'd be creeped out a little, I feel like I'd get more out of it.
So Stephen King. All right.
I guess Stephen King, yeah.
The next one, I'm really excited about this question, actually.
Oh, great.
Could a jet-setting werewolf outrun the moon?
A jet-setting werewolf...
Yeah.
Outrun the moon?
Uh-huh.
Is this a lyric from a song?
No.
A jet-setting werewolf outrun... Can a jet-setting werewolf outrun the moon?
Because think of it this way. So,
Like
a full moon is only 3 days out of the year. And on opposite sides of the earth, it's always daytime.
Theoretically,
if you time it right, you could always be in the sunlight for those 3 days.
It depends on what hemisphere of the earth you're on, but like you'd have to be, I mean, so theoretically there could be a business person who at some point became a werewolf or bit by a werewolf and they're infected, but because they're traveling so frequently, they're never ever around a full moon, and then one day they happen to be in the right place at the wrong time, or the wrong place at the right time, whatever, and then next thing you know, I'm a fucking monster. You know, I'm going to eat everything that people-wise. Like, is that what... I don't know what werewolves want. Like, do they want to eat people when they're running around?
Yeah. They eat people. Why? Or you other animals.
Wouldn't you think they just want to run around and be werewolves and just... And then maybe eat? Like, if you... Let's say, for example...
Well, they get hungry.
Yeah, but let's say, for example, you ate a full dinner before you went to bed and then you turned into a fucking werewolf. Would you be hungry?
Probably.
That's a question I want to ask you. Let's say you get infected with the lichen disease, werewolf, whatever, and that's the underworld lingo.
Yes.
I like underworld in an ironic way.
I love underworld.
You love it genuinely.
In a real way.
In a real human way. And I love it as a dick way. You get the lichen disease or whatever shit they call it in underworld.
Lycanthrope.
And let's say you go out to dinner with your friends and you eat a lot of food, like you're stuffed. You're like, I gotta go home. I'm tired and I'm full and I'm kind of not feeling well. I don't know why. And then you go to sleep and then, next thing you know, the wolf is there and you're like, oh man, oh, my tummy hurts. Like, I don't want to go out and eat people. Man, what did I have? Thai food? Indian. I had Indian. Man, all right. I guess I'm full. I don't have to be. So what would the werewolf do?
I guess there's somewhere. There are some people who, if they turn into werewolves, would just act like dogs.
That's what that would be me. If I was turning into a werewolf, I wouldn't even want to kill it. I'd just be a dog running around the neighborhood like, what's up? What are you guys
going
doing?
On?
I wouldn't even eat it. I don't think I'd eat anyone. I think I'd eat critters. But I'd see people and I'd be like, oh no, people. Like an animal would. Like yeah. a wolf would. Be like, no, fuck that. They're dangerous. Stay away from me. That's what I would be more like, I think. But then again, it's if you're a werewolf, how does it... So I guess to answer your question, I think that would make a great film. A jet-setting werewolf? Think that about it.
Still doesn't answer my question.
I think it'd make a great film. This is to answer your question. Because in a fictional universe where, let's say, werewolves are real, or let's say maybe they do exist in this world, but in a fictional world they exist, you could have a premise where somebody like a business person who's always on an airplane is flying around, and let's say on one of their business trips when they're drunk and crazy and in some weird country, they get bit by some werewolf
mm-hmm.
randomly, like American Werewolf in London style or whatever. And next thing you know, like they got the werewolf disease, but they're never anywhere near a full moon until they go back home and visit family or whatever. And mm-hmm. then like next, boom, where a full moon is like, I'm a monster, you know, like. I think it would be possible if they were aware of it and they had the money, they could avoid it. If yeah. they're aware of it and they had the money, they could avoid it. And if they were a celebrity, I'm now starting to think Johnny Depp might be a werewolf.
If you have the money to travel 3 days a month.
Because Johnny Depp has homes in all like in like multiple continents all over the world, and he's always yeah. moving around. And it's always during the solstice and the full moon. What are you up to, Depp? Depp? Johnny Depp? Sorry. How about... I'll say, it's totally possible. If they have the money and if they're aware of it and they know how it works, they could technically live with it like a disease comfortably for the rest of their lives without ever having to, like... What is it? How do you fix the werewolf problem? You kill the... It's like the... The vampires, we know there's a hierarchy. There's a master vampire that it all goes back to for each bloodline. If you get that master vampire, technically you could unravel all of that.
Sometimes. It depends on the lore you're following.
Sometimes it's just a disease that you can't ever get rid mm-hmm. of, and there's only like a cure. But in the mythological sense, if you kill the head vampire, like Dracula style, then the other vampires turn back to human. That's mm-hmm. that's the idea behind that.
I think one, and the one I've heard for werewolves is similar. I'm sure there are others. Like, there's always, like, a witch that can create a cure.
Isn't there, like,
whatever.
Don't witches also cause them? I'm sorry, what? No, go ahead.
Moonlight rings.
Oh, what's that?
It's a ring that makes them not turn during the full moon that a witch creates.
Oh, right. So could witches technically create a vampire or a werewolf? Like, if, let's say, they don't have, like, the they could do a spell?
According to
you're a werewolf now.
The Vampire Diaries, that's exactly what happens.
Because you'd think if witches and warlocks can fuck with dark magic that they could, you know, cast werewolf, mm-hmm. like Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. You yeah. are a werewolf now.
Mm-hmm.
Simsalabim. Or however you do it. Mecha-leka-hi-mecha-hiney-ho. You are now a ghost.
Okay, and
a
now...
A ghost? You killed me then. Basically, but no, I didn't kill you. You're a ghost without dying.
Oh, boy.
How does that work?
Now it's time for the next question.
How can I be a ghost without dying? You are Mario Van Peebles. Oh, your career is dead, but you're not. Poor Mario Van Peebles. Yeah, sure. So, yes, I do think that a jet-setting werewolf could forever do that. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah. No, I do think so. If you were familiar enough with the phases of the moon and time zones, it could absolutely
totally.
Be possible.
It's scientific
but
in that regard.
I do want to say,
in that regard.
You better hope that they don't mess that up when they're on the airplane.
Dude, no. No, you don't want that to happen. Absolutely not.
Messing up
kidding?
On land is one thing, but
yes.
on the airplane is a whole
oh,
other
God,
thing.
Oh, God, that's another thing. If like you're
like
rings
on a plane.
But you better time that with whatever area you're in and when you're flying, because
exactly.
if you're flying and you're absolutely right, because mm-hmm. the worst thing that could happen is you're on a red eye and you weren't paying attention to your schedule. Next thing you know, you're passing through the phase of the moon only like through one leg of the flight. But then, like, wouldn't that be fucked up? So
it
then you're
would
a
be
werewolf.
To trigger the turn.
You're yeah. a werewolf for like 30, 40 minutes, and they're fighting a werewolf. And then next thing you know, you pass through that time zone, and you're back to a person. Like, oh fuck, hey everyone, what happened? They're like,
yeah.
dude, what the fuck? Why did you tell us you were a werewolf?
Like, that's a movie I want
to
watch.
Like a world in which vampires and werewolves are real, and they have to notify the flight attendants before they get on in case there's a full moon. That would be pretty. That's like Hotel Transylvania style shit right there. It's like, look, that's we have to funny. Let, look, please, as a courtesy, if you are infected with Lycan disease, please notify all airlines of your disease before you enter in case there's a full moon during the flight. Like, that's, to me, a thing I could see happening in in like Hotel Transylvania. You know, that's a punch up for whatever, but blah, blah, blah. What's the next? Sorry. So are we out of the realm of would you rather now? Are we into the realm of...
Yes, I had two would you rather questions and two more hypothetical questions.
Would you rathers are interesting.
They are.
They're really interesting because you literally, do you want this horrible path or this horrible path? I'll take the least horrible, but they're still bad.
Would zombies be immortal in the vacuum of space?
They would freeze, wouldn't they? It's so cold in space that any organic biological life would just freeze up, right?
Yes.
So if they're frozen and then they thaw out, but I mean if they're theoretically
they're
if
dead.
They if like humans can't survive cryogenesis or cryostasis like we can, like if you create a technology you can maybe in the vacuum of space you could figure out a way to do it, but it would have to be like a genetic modification where they inject you with like nano shit to like redo your or who knows, but like it would be too complex. But a zombie doesn't have that same problem. They don't need to breathe. They don't need to eat, really. They eat because it's a thing. So technically, if a zombie was in space... But when humans thaw out from being frozen, they turn to mush.
Mm-hmm.
So if a zombie froze up in space and then we tried to thaw it out, it would just turn to mush. And like, because that's what happens to humans. Like, I'm sorry to get all like biological on that shit. But if they're voodoo zombies and they have that spiritual shit and they're like... Then theoretically, magic would kick in because magic is like it's like science, right? Like nanobots, voodoo magic. It's what's the difference? It's like science. We don't understand science. We go science. It's like magic. It doesn't matter. It's the same fucking thing. It's like Thor when he's like, you call magic. We call science magic, but we think it's one and the same. It's like it's literally one man's magic is another person's science, and vice versa. So if it's voodoo zombie magic shit, then I could see, theoretically, a zombie could get, like, thrown in the vacuum of space, be frozen, not be able to move. A space station thinks they found, like, some debris or whatever. Maybe it's an old being that they're like, what is this, from another era? And look at its clothes. And they thought, I'm like, wow, it's still moving. It's like an alien. Then it would be like Alien, but it's zombie. Like, so you could redo Alien, but have a zombie show up and just like thaw it out. Like, it's human, but it's moving. It's still alive. What did we find? I don't know. Burns. Oh shit, what is it? I don't know. Kill it. Fire works, but it's still moving. Cut its head off. It's still moving. You have to destroy the brain because it's a voodoo zombie. So if voodoo zombies and enchanted zombies, basically, if they're enchanted zombies, which sounds like more charming than it is, an enchanted zombie, but you know,
it makes me think of Billy from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, and what's his name played him?
Doug Jones
played him.
Yeah.
Yes. That's amazing. Yeah. You know what? It would be like Billy from Hocus Pocus, where a witch zombie or a voodoo zombie, if it's a magically enchanted zombie and not some biological one where it's based on science,
on
if,
a
it's,
virus,
if it's based on magic, that would like, or even if it was nanotechnology virus, like think that could still work too. The zombie virus could be nanotechnology based and look like it's a, you know what I mean, a disease, but it's actually, there's technology involved. So that you could play with that too. Well, like there's no real fucking rules, right? Like you can kind of do whatever you want.
Zombie movie.
Yeah, right? So fiction. If it's fiction, you can fucking make it up. So whatever. That's what Doctor Who does all the time. It's like, oh, time travel. Oh, it's wibbly wobbly. Shut up. Quit thinking. Just listen to the story. So I'll go with, what was it? Do you remember?
Would zombies be immortal in the vacuum of space?
Voodoo zombies, yes. Magically enchanted zombies, like witch zombies, like those ones, yes, because they don't really rot, they don't putrefy like humans do.
It's being sustained by magic,
but if it was science based as well, it could still have some sort of immunity to, you know what I mean, it could have a resistance or its cells could replicate
there, so basically there are ways around it, but
but it would have to take shit.
That we think of
the traditional
in movies, traditional zombies, probably not, because they still decay like a human.
Agreed. Yeah, totally. I mean, but we'd have to go magic or science-based, like hardcore magic science. Otherwise, the traditional zombies, no.
They're called remnants.
Remnants?
The ones that the vampires, the voodoo priestesses.
Oh, that's what they're called. They're okay, remnants, yeah, I think they're remnants or something. But familiars are humans that work for vampires that may also be zombies.
Or animals that work for witches.
Whoa. Okay. So, yeah, yes and no to that one. Yes, well, I know that's no. A cop-out, but it's true. Like, yeah. Zombies, are, when you fuck with zombies, things get all messed up.
It depends on the kind of zombie.
Yeah, there. All right. Perfect. You got the end of your list. I have some unofficial questions that I've kind of been dying to ask you because you're a nerd for horror stuff as well. We've talked about ghosts on the show in the paranormal segment. If you haven't heard that, check it out. Really great segment. Yes. I highly recommend it. We talked about ghosts and demons, and then you told me that demons could even possess not only humans, but ghosts.
Yes.
And I'm like, are you fucking for real? So so my question would be, let's say, for example, there's a person that has a spirit or a ghost following them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say that person has that spirit following them, and instead of the demon attaching themselves to you, that spirit comes in the way and tries to defend you, but then the demon possesses the spirit. Where's the question? And I guess the question would be, is that possible? Could that be possible?
Yes, that is possible.
Even if the spirit was trying to protect you, the demon would be too powerful to because it's like in chess, right? Like you've got pawns, you've got rooks, knights, mm-hmm. king, queen. So it's like the demon would be like the bishop or whatever to the pawn that mm-hmm. that is the ghost, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, so that sucks. That's scary shit.
I mean, there are entities that are too. Like, let's say if you had a family member protecting you.
Oh, no, God.
That connection would most likely be too strong for the demon to, you know what I mean?
The love there is so powerful, and it's like a bright shining light that it keeps the bad stuff away.
Theoretically. But, like, if you just had
energy that keeps
a random ghost that just happened to be a nice person, then
a protective spirit, like it's a ghost, but it's haunting in a protective way.
Yeah, if that ghost was to be possessed by a demon, it would make that spirit more powerful.
Interesting.
So that spirit at that point could hurt
so
you.
So you're saying, like, if it's a ghost that you have, like, kind of a weird relationship with anyway, it could get possessed and use that weird loophole through the ghost to get to you. That's fucked. So the ghost could do more harm than good just hanging around. Mm-hmm. So in that case, they're kind of like pests. But then it's sad because, like, most of them don't know they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that do are kind of like pests. They're kind of like angry. And can you blame them? Let's say you can't figure out how to get out of your ghost loop. Like, you'd be kind of pissed too, right? And mm-hmm. let's say you're stuck there for hundreds of years. You'd start to fuck with people. You'd be so bored. You'd be like, I've been in the same corridor for like 100 years. Hey, look, these people are coming by. Get out of here. Fuck off. This place, go away. Leave me alone. This place sucks.
Or actually, more often than not, depending on how they died, and this is really sad to think about, honestly, depending on how they died, they're reliving their death over and over again.
That's the rerun memory. What did we call that?
No, that's not. Intelligent haunting?
Right.
It's just lots of angry spirits.
Yeah.
If they died traumatically, they're still feeling that pain and that anger and that fear.
Yeah.
You know, they're just feeling that over and over again, so they're lashing out.
Good
obviously.
Point. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I guess basically, because that, so, in a sense, like, yeah, a demon, if it's a positive ghost that's following you,
mm-hmm.
if you believe in that or whatever, then it's a positive, like, strong protective thing, then it should help you, it should work.
Yeah.
But if it's a mixed bag relationship where there's some abuse or there's some, you know, like, pain there.
No, that wasn't what I was saying.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
What I was saying was, if the connection's strong enough, so let's say grandparent, aunt.
Sure,
uncle,
yeah, whatever. Like, yeah.
Whatever.
Friend, family, loved one.
Their connection to you might be strong enough that they can resist being possessed by a demon. But let's say it's just the previous owner of the house who doesn't know you at all. They just want to protect their property.
That's a good point, yeah.
Like, they don't really care about you.
Then it could be
more,
a bad
because
thing.
That connection isn't there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where it could, you know, you could be morally fortified and strong,
mm-hmm.
but a ghost could cause, you know, some problems. Mm-hmm. It could be like, hey, it's causing the dry rot, you know, and like it's oh, that sucks, because then you feel bad for the ghost. Then it's like it's mm-hmm. already it already sucks that it's a ghost and now a demon's possessing it. That's miserable. How about this? So let's say, okay, here's a scenario I definitely wanted to present to you before. A dude is at a party, gets drunk, hammered. Next thing you know, wakes up the next day. He's like naked. He's got bite marks all over him. Hair looks like slobber. He was, you know, bitten and attacked by a werewolf and turned into one, and now he's a werewolf.
Uh-huh.
Okay. A few months go by. He's been dealing with this. He's all fucked up. Meets a lady at a party. She brings her back. She brings him back to her place, and then next thing you know, she's biting his neck. And she's a vampire. Could you be a werewolf and get infected by the vampire disease and become a werewolf vampire hybrid, or vice versa? If you're a vampire and then, like, let's say, a werewolf comes by and gets you. Now, in the underworld world, there's rules, right? About that? In the underworld, vampire, werewolf. That seems to be the definitive in my book because they made the most movies about it.
Well, so
but it's
I
also
actually,
pretty lame.
I was just about to say that, like, it depends on the lore. Because in, let's say, Vampire Diaries, a werewolf bite to a vampire is fatal.
That's what I mean. Like, it's like poisonous. Poison for them and vice versa, right? So if a vampire bites a werewolf, it's bad. Werewolf, vampire, bad.
I don't think anything happens if a werewolf gets
in that. So
by
in that movie franchise, you could have it that way. It could work that way.
Yeah, I mean, there are hybrids.
Right, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
But there was a ritual that had to be performed. There were witches
what?
Involved
oh, so you had to have, like, magic because they, it's not supposed to happen.
But in...
It's gotta be magic.
Underworld, hybrids can be created, and they can even be born.
Like in a lab, right? So it's kind of like genetic
modification. No. They can be, because the lichens are technically still living people. They're not vampires. They're not dead.
Oh.
So lichens can have kids. So
they can have werewolf kids that have the disease, so they pass the disease on like vampires?
Yeah.
Oh. So it's not like let's say they were born with some sort of like genetic disability or whatever, and you could have kids that won't have that disability. But then you could have some kids that will have that disability. Like, it's not like that. So if you could be born one, but you're only born one if you're infected and you have kids, they're going to be werewolves no matter what. That's the answer.
Yes.
So it's not like if you're a human in this world. And so those are the rules we're dealing with underworld, though. Those are the underworld rules.
I believe so.
So let's talk about the traditional rules, which doesn't clearly state in any movie I have never seen this scenario play out, other than Underworld, where there's already, like, I've never seen a regular horror movie where, in correct me if I'm wrong, internet, but if you've seen a horror movie where there was a dude who was bit by a werewolf first or a vampire first, and then they were bit by a werewolf or a vampire second, and then they had to deal with having both shit, that to me is more interesting. Like, you've already been bitten by a werewolf, you're turning into one slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And like every time, like every moon, but then all of a sudden you get this vampire shit. So now you're a vampire, and then every full moon you turn into a fucking werewolf. That's got to be a nightmare. Like, that's got to be a never ending. Like, seriously? So I'm already screwed with the werewolf thing. Now every night, I can only be out at night because, and full moons only happen at night. Fuck. Like, that would be, I think that would be a really interesting premise to play with as far as, again, I hate saying these would make great movies, but they would. I would love, or even just TV shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have this guy also, like, then he dies and becomes a ghost. And then he gets reincarnated.
Oh, Jesus.
But he gets reincarnated into a serial killer.
This poor guy.
Right? Like, he's like, what the fuck? Like, I can't wait. Like, that would be hilarious.
Why am I all the horror movie tropes?
Yeah, I'm all of the things. I'm all of the fucking things. Like, again, that's just me getting, or a graphic novel. But
that's
do
funny.
You, like, so, knowing the current lore, technically, there's nothing that states you can't do that.
Hypothetically, hybrids could exist. Yes.
So, like, there could be a ghost werewolf where, like, somebody died as a werewolf and their ghost werewolf hangs out. Ghost vampires. Like, a vampire dies and its ghost hangs out.
Yeah.
Right? They're, like, or would the werewolf one not work?
I don't think the werewolf one would work only because...
Well, they die such tragic deaths as werewolves.
In most cases... And I know technically you died as the werewolf, but in most cases, after... they're killed, they revert back to their human form.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
Because a werewolf isn't always a werewolf,
no,
but a vampire
only,
is always a vampire.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
So you could have a ghost vampire then, possibly.
Yeah.
But what if the werewolf thing was so intense that they died you know, in that, and they died a very intense way.
Yeah.
Could the transformation, like the way they died, be an intelligent haunting, and it was through being a werewolf? And so that's the intelligent haunting. That would be another cool flip the premise movie where it's like, oh, there's a werewolf. It's not a werewolf. It's a ghost. It's a ghost of a werewolf.
That would be so messed up.
So it's a ghost by day. It's a normal ghost, but then sometimes it turns to a werewolf only on full moons. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, that would be brilliant.
That would be brilliant.
It's like the adventures of the shitty Van Helsing. Shitty Van Helsing. Terrible, like the worst Van Helsing ever. That's fun. I either way, we've got to write that cartoon series. Mm-hmm. It'll be a Saturday morning thing. It'll be a Nickelodeon. You're welcome, Nickelodeon. So those are most of my hybrid questions as far as horror is concerned. All right. Here's one. It's the 70s. It's 1970 whatever. We'll say 77 because Star Wars came out. So it's 1977. Your Star Wars came out just after. The world is a better place now. And you're at home. And you get a call. And it's the Scream voice.
Oh, boy.
It's the 70s. It's the 70s. Not the 80s. Not the 90s. I'm retconning Scream to take place in the 70s. And you get a call from Ghostface. And it's the voice modulated, but maybe it's muffled instead. It's not like clearly technology. But so now it's Ghostface, and he's talking about movies of the 70s, like horror movies around that time.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Basically, what's your favorite spooky movie, or what's your favorite monster movie? They probably say, what's your favorite monster movie or something? Because they had black and white Wolfman, Invisible Man, Dracula films. So they probably say, what's your favorite monster movie?
No, you know? They'd still say, what's your favorite scary movie?
I guess so. It was, 1970s, they said scary movie. So, okay, so how would you survive that in the 70s with, like, the shitty tech and shitty communication,
Rosemary's
shitty everything?
Rosemary's Baby.
You sneaky fuck. You sneaky fuck. You're gonna throw a baby at him? That's also despicable.
No. I would just run.
Yeah, but it's not like Michael Myers or Jason, where it's like they're slow and lumbering. It's like the Scream person who could be like two people. It could be one. It could be a whole cult of... You don't know. Like, it's the Scream ghost-faced, and it's the 70s.
Then I'd hang up and call the cops.
Yeah, but it's the 70s.
Still,
can you trust anything you do? Do you think Officer Dewey will show up?
My doors would already be locked. My doors would be locked. My windows would be locked.
I mean, you could try calling the cops. I would see that. That'd be the first step you do. But let's say the lines cut.
And then I would run somewhere and hide.
Let's say they cut to the line and then the lights turn off.
In the house.
Everything. Everything in Scary Movie that happens in this era is happening in the 70s.
Yeah.
So you're fucked.
The only option at that point is to find a real good hiding place in your house.
Or try and find a weapon. But even then, you're still fucked because it's Ghostface in the 70s. I'm still trying to figure out how you can survive it.
Well, then I just have to hope that they're high and stupid. It's Ghostface in the 70s.
Maybe if it's two of them, one of them might be.
Let's hope he took some
If it's two of them, one of them's probably just like, hey, man, hold on. What are we doing? I wasn't totally on board before. Wait, that? Oh, fuck. All right. Well, let's hold on. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
No, that's terrible. He wouldn't. It's more like a drunk would do that. Drunk, you could talk to a stoner and be like, I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
You mean I gotta wait outside for hours? Psh, nah. I could be at home listening to Pink Floyd on my record player because it's the 70s.
I think I'd be able to survive better in the 70s than I would now.
I don't think so. I'm very sorry.
You're so
you are so dependent. We all are so dependent on our technology, that the moment you take that little smartphone away and those little computers away, and we're fucking stuck in the 70s with Ghostface and his and it's the 70s version of Ghostface, which means probably a little bit more effective because you don't have all the technology to slow a killer down that's really smart and effective. I'm sorry, but it would be very hard. You'd have to, like, I would try to home alone the situation. It's like, okay,
that's fair.
You're stuck out there and you're smart. Well, you got to try and fucking get in through my death traps. Like, that's how I would do it. It would be like, you got to go through my Kevin McAllister nightmare shit.
Or gets better yet, 70s, Aquanet, Farrah Fawcett hairspray.
Does,
grab
yeah.
a lighter
of course.
And some hairspray.
Yeah, that would work.
Torch their ass.
That works. Or, you know, try and keep a gun around. It's the 70s, you know. So you could have guns in it. You just have guns hanging out. It's the 70s. They didn't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah.
I just think it would be it's massively difficult. I think you have a good idea about calling. Initially, you're so right about that. Call the police. Hide. Try and run away. Do anything you could do to try and avoid this. But if you're left stuck having to face this thing down, which you might, or person down, I'd say you'd have to set up murder traps, or you'd have to Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator that thing.
I don't know.
Outsmart
it.
You'd have to outsmart Ghostface in like a really quick span of time.
I agree with you, but I think for me personally, the flamethrower, the makeshift flamethrower is the best option, because then I don't have to get too close, because if I have to get too close, I die.
Fuck it. I'll take it a step further. Find really flammable material. Like material, but really flammable liquid, like gasoline, and wait till they get up close to you, and just fucking dump gasoline on them or whatever, and then run into another room. And when they chase you, fucking light a match and run. And then they'll be so soaked in gasoline at that point that they'll have to take all their shit off,
mm-hmm.
or it'll melt into their skin, and then they'll go to the hospital and they have to get skin grafts, and you'll know who that fucker is.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, even in the 70s, that's how you could, you know, it would be easier to do it. You could just throw gasoline or lamp oil or, you know, it's the 70s. You have, like, chemicals everywhere just hanging out without lids.
Yeah, also, I mean, technically you wouldn't even need that because it's the 70s. Everything's made out of polyester. They would just burst into flames.
Oh, God. And if it was, like, even shittier, like, costume material back then as soon as they got hit with gasoline, they would explode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even without a flame. The gasoline would just ignite with whatever shit they had. From that was imported from like asbestos ridden shit.
Yep.
So I would say those are probably your best bets.
Mm-hmm.
Run, hide, call the police, defend yourself, maybe fortify, do whatever you can, but you're going to have to probably fight Ghostface or the multiple Ghostfaces. But yeah, in the 70s, I think it's harder in the 70s. All right. And if I had to like wind up on like the ultimate one, well, if this is the ultimate scary, awesome hypothetical, you're trapped in a haunted house. What do you do? How do you get out? Like, the doors are locked, the windows are locked, the house is haunted, there's ghosts, it's like the most haunted, it's like Shining style, you're trapped. Screw it. You're trapped in the Overlook from The Shining. The Overlook Hotel from The Shining. You're not in just any regular haunted house. You're in the haunted hotel from The fucking Shining, where every room is a nightmare.
Well,
how
if
do you
I'm by
escape?
Myself, then technically I don't have to worry about it because the ghosts aren't trying to kill you. They're trying to make whoever you're with kill you.
Are you sure? Because it's The Shining Hotel and it drives people crazy. There were people who stayed there by themselves that went crazy. There were people that stayed there with their families and went crazy. When it's the dead of winter, you're the only caretaker. Maybe that one guy comes by. He's like, hey, here's some food, but he can't make it in. And all of a sudden, you're hearing a lot of weird, crazy, loud noise happening in room 101. Or whatever it's called, 408 or whatever the fuck it is.
Leave.
You just leave in
you
the
just
snow?
Leave.
Yeah, but the problem, the reason I love your answer is just get out. It's simple. It's like, just leave. Yeah, but the reason why they couldn't leave was because of the snowstorm and because the stuff they had was broken down. You see, the Overlook creates a scenario where you're stuck in there, so you either have to, you could try and leave, or you got to survive. Like as simple and easy as it would seem to get out, you got to realize like you've seen the movie, you know the book, you know where that hotel is, right?
Yeah.
Middle
and
of nowhere.
It's middle of the
you're
mountains,
stuck. You're stranded.
Colorado.
You would die trying to escape.
Okay, I would rather
from
risk,
natural elements.
I would rather risk dying in the snow than dying by ghosts.
What if you could survive, like Danny Torrance and his mom? They survived. You know, then you would die for no reason if you could survive if you just had to survive one crazy night in the Overlook.
But that's my point, though. If they were, there were three of them.
One crazy night in the Overlook sounds like an awesome documentary, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They were primarily targeting Johnny. So the other two, like, yeah, Danny saw stuff and he, like, things were talking to him, but he wasn't. Being like they weren't making him go crazy and want to kill him.
Right. That's Danny
so,
in the movie.
Theoretically, if you're there by yourself and you're their only target, your only option is to get out.
Okay, but again, you die.
So then you die.
So
there's no surviving.
You would just choose death over having to go through madness to survive. That's like, you're giving up. You're just giving up. You're like,
no,
hey, ghost,
I'm
you
convinced.
Win. I'd rather die than fight you. I can't fight the weather, and I can't fight ghosts. But the ghosts are in a warm place that I could stay alive in for a little bit longer. And the longer I'm outside, I'm dying sooner than if I'm inside a scary place that I could die in there, maybe. Maybe through madness. They could make me kill myself through madness. But would you rather die slowly in the cold? Or would you rather die comfortably but terrorized? Right? That's, and I'm going, well, if I could live longer and be comfortable, but I'm horrified. Well, I mean, like, there's, if there's a fighting chance to get through it, I'll take the fighting chance over, well, I'm going to die no matter what in this scenario.
See,
if I'm dying in the cold no matter what, I'm not taking that chance. Sorry.
But I have the opposite side of that argument. It's more likely that I will be able to find help of some kind outside.
How? There's no one able to get? You're in the middle of nowhere, separated from everything and everyone for, like, you saw at the beginning of the movie. I'm blown away by that. I'm like, I wouldn't even try. I'd be like, that would just be more death than anything.
Possible. Just if you're smart and you know what kind of elements you're going into and you prepare for it.
But I don't know. Like, it to me, if the scenario is you're going to a hotel, it's great. You're going to be there by yourself. You're going to have all the food and all the clothes. Don't worry about it. It's a good time. You're just going to be chilling out for the whole winter break, and you're just going to have a good time. Be like, oh, awesome. So why would you be prepared to run? You're like, dude, I have like the best fucking winter home, and I could just sit down and work on my thesis for my college. This is a sequel for my like this for One Crazy Night in the Overlook. Work on my thesis for this film project. And, what's that noise coming from that room over there?
Well, because, first of all, going into those conditions, ghosts or not, knowing that you're in a place surrounded by snow where possibly no one can come help you.
Sure.
If anything were to happen,
but
power goes out, warmth is gone, food is gone, you still need to be prepared for things that could happen, ghosts aside.
But that's the thing with Overlook, they explained everything in the book and in the movie. The information is that they've created a scenario in The Shining, and it's the most defining part. It's the reason why they're so trapped. The isolation, desperate isolation. Isolation to the point that if you even leave, you'll die because there's no way you could, like, even in a car, it would break down, it'd get too cold, it would just, you're in the middle of the snow, it's just, the whole point, it's all predicated on the idea that escape is death no matter what you do. If you try to escape this place, you'll die. So it's either stay, like, that's a big premise of The Shining. I hate to get so nitpicky, but that's the biggest thing, is that you are in this place that's like a mini city, because it has to be a mini city because it's so disconnected from everything, and it's such a retreat, because when it's nice in the year, it's such a retreat. It's like, but it's so far, but it's so haunted, and it's so dark and twisted that, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing you can do, so you're so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't feel like if you're completely isolated and that if you try and run away in the snow and you'll die no matter what you do, that's not scary to you.
Well, I also don't necessarily believe that you'll die no matter what you do.
The idea of The Shining is it drives people crazy who are susceptible to it. So if, let's say, but not only susceptible, it knows how to find the things to drive you crazy. With Danny, it was just going off the charts because It's like whoa, we just found like something to tap into here. So it started going crazy and activating. His dad had the same thing, so it was communicating with him. But the big issue was that it was like tapping into every one of them, trying to make them crazy. Even Wendy. What did you see Wendy with that bat? She said, get away from it. She was losing it. The Overlook drives you mad and kills you through the madness. And you're right. The only way to get out of it is to literally physically get out. But I'm saying, like, how do you survive while you're stuck there until eventually, fuck it, I'm leaving? How long would you stay? How long could you stay? I guess that's how I should have asked the question. I just thought that made more sense. I don't know.
I would stay until the first sign of some crazy paranormal shit.
But
and
what,
then,
okay, but what would it take? Like, let's say a ball starts bouncing down the hallway.
Yeah, no.
That's enough?
I'm gone.
Okay. Well, so you wouldn't even take let's say a light turns on.
No.
That's enough. A door, you look, a door was closed, you look, it's open. You leave. It doesn't matter. There's no little set of circumstances, not knowing when anything creepy is happening. Because there's been some things that happen around our home that seem pretty odd, and yet you're not creeped out by it. But if you were alone and no one else was around and this stuff was happening, you'd be very scared.
Yeah.
And would you? And let's say you're in the middle of the woods in winter, or the middle of the mountains in winter, and you have no way of leaving. How are you going to survive that? And the answer is, I think Stephen King came up with a pretty fucked up scenario that you just like you. The only way you can survive is if you fight to stay there or you fight to leave there. But if you leave, you'll most likely die anyway, unless you get one of those snow crawler things, whatever the snow crawler thing is. And if you can get one of those and it works, you can get out. But in the movie, they set up a scenario where that wasn't working, and the only way it worked was because Halloran, I think his name was, that Halloran guy came back. So I would think that, like, if, like, for example, let's say you and I were in this scenario and we were stuck at that hotel, I would be sitting there with you like this going, are you insane? You want to go run around out in this snow and think that we're going to make it out of here alive? We have food and warmth here. Yeah, there's scary ghosts, but man, if they're not killing us and they're not doing anything yet, I don't want to risk it. Because there's no warm bed and there's no heat out there. There's no food out there. It's literally me running for like days until I find, like days running until you find someone. So like, I don't know. Like I respect your choice, but I would feel so trapped that I would be like, God, what could I do? Like, I'd have to fight my way out or die trying to run away. And that, to me, and I think we both can agree, the scariest thing is being stuck in a place so scary that you'd rather risk dying to get out.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, it's so scary that you could go crazy and your mind, losing your mind is more, like, to lose your, isn't that, it presents a scenario, isn't that bizarre?
Mm-hmm.
It presents a scenario where losing your mind is worse than dying, which in general I think is a good rule of thumb. I think, you know, if you're living and you're crazy, it's not much of a life, is it? It's almost a fate worse than death to be crazy. Not to get philosophical, but why not? You know, like, I feel like it's a fate worse than death to live a life where you go crazy and you don't know what's real anymore. You know, then it's like, well, wouldn't you rather die? And it's like, well, if you don't know what's real anymore, it'd be hard-pressed to not... And that's the thing. That's what The Shining presents, is that scenario. Like, if you don't know what's real anymore, if you've gone crazy after that, is it worth living? I mean, how do you survive? Like, like, would you want to live through that? Do you, like... And that, I think, is even more horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question that I don't want to answer.
Yeah.
We'll leave that hypothetical. Fuck it. That hypothetical will be unanswered. I don't want to answer that. So, I guess to review, we had some would-you-rather scenarios. We had some random hypotheticals. Out of all the things we've discussed, what's the one that stands out the most to you?
I really liked the jet-setting werewolf.
That sounds like a book or a movie, like a comedy. That's a comedy. Who would be in it? Jonah Hill? Is he the jet-setting werewolf? Jonah Hill? Wolf of Wall Street? Werewolf? Seth Rogen? No. Who's someone you would absolutely... not expect to be aware, like Tom Hanks? No, he's Mr. Rogers. We'll figure it out. We'll get back to you about the jet-setting werewolf, which will be a great Netflix original series once we get it up and running, along with the other stuff that we've got in the pipeline, because Netflix can't say no to anyone, and we love it. Thank you, Netflix, for all the work. Yeah, I agree, jet-setting. Jet Set Radio Werewolf. That's from a video game. No one knows. Well, again, we've answered all the mysteries of the universe for you. And you're welcome yet again. I know this isn't the You're Welcome Hollywood segment, but you're welcome regardless. You know, you don't have to worry about it. We've done it for you. We thought about everything for you. We've answered these mysteries of the universe, and another chapter on Awesome Hypotheticals is closed until next week, when we have even weirder questions, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
It just gets weirder and weirder, and that's the beauty. So keep it weird and keep it awesome. Oh God.
Yerp.
I'm not saying that. Keep it weird and keep it awesome. If you want, live your life. You have anything you'd like to add before we head out?
Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. And like things in life in general. Like, just like
comment.
Things.
Comment. Well, that's all I got. This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome.
team awesome milk.
Wink, wink.
Shut up. Yeah.